What's up, heretics? It's the Religion of Speed podcast, the show for car nerds by car nerds. I'm Matt Overstreet.
I am Chris Huffman.
I'm Hamza.
And I'm Aaron.
All right, guys, it is that time of year. Actually, it is New Year's Eve currently while we are recording.
Yes, it is the end of that time of year.
I think we can all agree 2022 had its ups and downs, and we're hoping for more in 2023. More ups, I should say.
Yeah, more ups.
Less downs, please.
But before we get to that and talk about what we plan to do with the new year, we have quite a bit of news to catch up on because we kind of skipped a little bit. We had some sicknesses in the Religion of Speed family. We had, of course, Christmas stuff going on, holiday stuff, people traveling. So happy we're back together and we can get caught up on news. And the first thing I want to talk about is I want to do a quick follow-up to our V8 Miata story about Flying Miata. Keith from Flying Miata made a video after everybody put that out there that Flying Miata's not doing V8 Miatas anymore. And he was pretty much like, yeah, we haven't been doing that for like a year. Like, this is nothing new. Somebody just saw it and wrote an article and it blew up. He's like, we haven't been doing it for a long time. And he says, while yes, emissions were kind of part of it, that the main thing is they just don't have the capabilities to like do the R&D and do the building and everything, that they don't have the capabilities they would need and to still be a parts warehouse like they want.
And to be fair, that's their business. They're a small shop.
Yes, very small.
They're in Grand Junction, and they are the biggest thing in Grand Junction, and that's a very small town.
Right. So pretty much he was like, you know, that they blew this up. He's like, the only people that reached out to us for comment was Jalopnik. Everybody else just ran the story, which that was us too.
Yeah, we did that too.
Yep. So sorry, Keith. Sorry we spread the rumors. Next time I'll just reach out to you instead. Yeah, it was just basic business is the reason they stopped doing it. It just wasn't making them money more than anything. So
the saddest part about that announcement was he says they don't even make parts for the NA anymore.
Yeah.
Or they don't make parts for the NA or NB or NC anymore. It's just modern Miatas.
Is there still a kind of like a restoration program with Mazda for the NA? Wasn't there?
Mazda's making new parts for NAs. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
That might be a part of it too.
I mean, there is no shortage of Miata parts out there and Miata turbo kits and stuff like that. And I just think for most part, you know, they stopped doing NAs and NBs because for the most part now, younger kids are owning them. They're not buying the expensive, good turbo kits. They're kind of piecing shit together, doing it themselves. Probably weren't selling a bunch of kits. And it's not like he said with the headers for the V8 Miata, like the supplier they had lined up wanted them to run like 100 headers. And he's like, we're not going to sell 100 kits. Yeah. So they're going to sit on the shelf and collect dust. Like, it's just not.
And what did he say? They only did, what, 3 turnkey swaps?
Yeah.
And that's, you know, their full figure, all service, where you bring it in and they do everything for you.
Yeah, and I mean, there's tons of people on the internet that are like, oh, I would do that. But, hey, put your money where your mouth is if you're going to say that, you know. Otherwise, it's not good for business. But, you know, Fly Miata is still doing just fine. They got lots of parts. They're doing turbocharging and supercharging, I think, for NDs. Or maybe that's the NC supercharger they still sell. I don't remember off the top of my head.
I know Edelbrock made the supercharger for the ND.
Yeah.
That was like a big thing. But
so in this case, it's actually don't blame the EPA. It's just business. So
just as wanted much to get as I like out. To blame the EPA on stuff.
Right. Yeah. There's always stuff. And we'll get to blaming the EPA and emissions stuff later on in the story.
Make a shirt.
Blame the EPA. But I actually want to talk about some good news before we get to the bad stuff. And that is we've talked about the Acura Integra some, and the performance version is coming soon. They have unveiled, they are testing the Integra Type S. I just noticed the camo is a bunch of S's.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, wow. I just noticed that.
Oh my gosh, it would have been so funny if they did like the 90s like S. Like, why wouldn't you do that?
Right?
You know what it's like. You move like the 3 lines where you make six lines and you connect them. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I literally drew like a bunch of those the other day on like a tablecloth.
The sideways one kind of looks like that at quick glance.
A little bit. Oh man, that almost looks photoshopped.
It does look photoshopped.
It's blown up on the big screen.
It does look photoshopped up there.
Yeah, that's weird. Anyways,
looks good.
They have, yeah, actually, I'm kind of digging it. It looks a little more proper now, just like some better wheels on it, honestly. But they haven't announced it too much, but they did say it comes with a 2-liter 4-cylinder making 300 horsepower.
That sounds like a K20C1.
Right? It's like weird. Wonder what engine that is.
Yeah.
It doesn't say whether it's turbocharged. I mean, there's the
only it doesn't. It just says that. That's what it says. And I'm just like, why are you being coy about this? We all know what engine's going in this.
Maybe they'll give it another modifier like K20C3, like they did with the GSR, the Type R.
Yeah,
the motors were really similar, but the tune was a little different.
That would be curious. I would be curious if they take this just up like half a notch compared to the Civic Type R, but I don't think they would. It's a different market.
No big crazy wang.
Nope, no wang, which I'm kind of sad about. I would just love to see a little bit of a wing on that.
It does seem a little conservative.
Right?
Well, I mean, you think about like the TLX, and this that makes 355, so... I mean, it's right in the place where it should be in the lineup. That's
yeah,
the truth.
That's true. Yeah,
they
you don't want
a
good
car
more.
That's lower, making more power.
Yep. No, that makes sense. But we'll see once the tests come out. I'm sure everybody's going to be snagging these up. I know Acura made a big push this year at SEMA with lots of, you know, they gave a lot of cars for people to modify. But I just, you know, I'm not. I think I've only seen like one Integra on the road.
Yeah, I haven't seen a lot of these.
I don't see them very often yet, but. Then again, they kind of blend in with all the other Acuras. Until I see the Integra thing in the bumper, I don't even realize it's not a IDX
like
or ILX.
Stamped in the bumper. It doesn't really have like a...
Yeah, it's not a badge. It's just like the old Integras. Yeah.
Right, traditionally. Yeah. I think that's better. I like that. That's a small touch that I like that carried over.
Yeah. It's like one of the only things that really carried over, honestly, from the old ones. But hey, that's fine. And then speaking of Honda and their... Type R engine. Honda has also been working on the Type R TCR.
Why does that look so good?
Dude, it is so good.
That looks good.
It is so good. This is a competition-only race car. It's going to be competing in the IMSA Michelin Pilot Challenge. Yeah, they didn't release a ton of details on power specs or anything, but it's just the race car version. And I know Honda was selling, you could buy the SI race car. Yeah. So I wonder if they're going to offer this as a turnkey.
I think so. I mean, when I was at K Series, I talked to them about like buying one, and we were looking at like all the parts that it comes with, and it was kind of funny because it was like hot sport mounts and like all of these parts that we already sold, and you know, it kind of the crew there decided not to go through with it because of that reason. Because
they could just build it themselves,
but. At the same time, I think it was only like $50,000 or something like that, so it wasn't really that expensive. Like
that was for the SI one, right?
Mm-hmm. I'll say, but $50,000 won't even get you a streetable Type R. So
true. Yeah, I kind of thought I didn't see anything in the story about these being offered for sale, and I think this is just a factory like, you know, race car program. But because I thought TCR, turnkey race car.
Oh yeah.
I thought that's what it was going to stand for, but.
I thought it was something touring car or something.
Yeah, it's a circuit. Yeah, it's not.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. So what I did was I just like called HPD and they were like, "Yeah, we have three of these. They're X amount of money. This is how it all works. You just ship it down to you." And
I still think, yeah, for like $50,000, that SI race car was like the fucking steal of the century. Yeah.
It would be hilarious if buying one of these direct from Honda and bypassing the dealer markup is cheaper than getting a Type R. Like
it might almost
the dealer.
Be.
Yeah.
For the thing you get, but then
drive it on the street.
Yeah, that's not a streetable car.
It's got headlights. I'm driving it on the street.
I don't think they have VINs.
Oh, probably.
Well, we can get one off an old Civic or something.
Right?
There's plenty of Honda Vins floating around.
We'll figure out a way.
It's like, this says it's a CRV. What?
Four doors.
Yeah.
Yeah. It just has a bunch of body panels on it.
It just looks fantastic.
I don't have any other pictures included here, but there were some other angles, and it's just like, yeah, everything about it. I've come around to the fact that the new Type R is just better in every way than the outgoing Type R.
Oh, by a lot.
Yeah. Like I said, that boy racer look kind of grew on me over time, but but this is just like, especially in this kind of trim. Woo.
That bottom grill or like the intake or whatever you want to call it, that looks so aggressive. It's so dope.
It kind of reminds me, I don't know if you guys ever watched like the old, what series was it? The touring car series. But like the real time Acuras and stuff like that, this is what that reminds me of.
Yeah.
Like something similar where I'm excited to see it in a field of other cars, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I've been getting into like the IMSA Rolex style 24 hour racing, or endurance racing, I should say, because because like the current hypercar class in that is stacked with awesome cars. Toyotas, Peugeots, well, a bunch of other brands whose name I can't think of right now. But like there's like four or five different brands in the hypercar series right now, like the Le Mans prototype style series. And there's good competition going on in those races. So I do suggest checking that out. And yeah, if they're going to be adding stuff like this to the lineup, that's even better.
That'll be cool to see.
There was, I mean, kind of just one more last point to speak to that is this. I think I messaged you about the GLTC, which is the, you know, Grid Life Touring Car.
Yeah.
Whatever. And that type of racing excites me. So, you know, to see this come out and see those potential series start to grow in the U.S. Mm-hmm. and become affordable to get into, that's exciting.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah. Like, I always like endurance racing because I like multi-class racing.
Yes.
You get lots of different speed cars on the track. They have to
different
maneuver through traffic.
Different drivetrain layouts. All, they take corners differently. They brake differently.
Yeah, you get all sorts of differences. And you get that in the GLTC as well because there's so many different cars in that race.
Yeah.
That, yeah, you have... We saw it when we were at Grid Life when they were doing the GLTC.
Yeah.
And there was... What was it? It was a Z and...
It was a BRZ with a J-swap.
A BRZ. And, yeah, you could see that, like, the one car was straight faster in the straight, and then the other car was faster in the corners. Yeah. And the battle that took place there was great.
Yeah.
Like, I love that kind of stuff.
Yeah, the BRZ was outrunning the Z.
Yeah.
And the 370Z was just outbreaking him every single time.
As much as I do appreciate when they try to make racing as even as possible and make all the cars as even as possible, it does sometimes lead to some boring racing. Because then you get a bunch of drivers who are at the top of their game pushing the cars as hard as they can, and nobody can really make a move. Like, so it all comes down to strategy and your qualifying, stuff like that, where this type of racing is, there's a lot of action on the track.
Yeah, and FR can brake later.
Right.
An all-wheel drive car can put the power down sooner.
Yep.
Yeah, and they all play to their advantages. It's really cool to see those stacked up against each other. It's like Forza in real life.
Yeah.
Have you guys ever watched Pirelli World Challenge?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's like the, yeah, I mean, they show that on like CBS, I think. Like CBS.
Oh, do they?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, because I've subscribed to the YouTube channel because they do, they record all that stuff, put them on their YouTube channel as well.
Yeah.
So it's CBS Motorsports YouTube.
Front wheel drive cars. I mean, they were running Veloster turbos for a while, or I guess Veloster ends.
Were they Velosters or Elantra ends?
Veloster ends.
Oh, okay.
Sure.
Yeah.
Because what's his name? Damn, I can't remember, but one of this like really young driver won like the manufacturer championship like 2 times in a row with Veloster. And I mean, it was like just blowing all the other cars out of the water. They had to detune it because of that.
Really?
Oh, wow.
there's this whole thing.
Well, that actually leads really great into our next story because I wondered then how they're going to do with this. Hyundai is going to stop production on their 2-liter turbo for the ends. But they're going to be moving to the 2.5-liter turbo out of the Sonata.
Whoa. Okay.
And weirdly, they state emission regulations as the reason.
That makes sense. If it's larger displacement, the engine doesn't have to work as hard.
Yeah, but if it's a bigger displacement, it has to put out more emissions.
Exactly. Like,
20% you're still more. You're still sucking. You're still sucking in more air and more fuel.
But I mean, I guess I see it on both sides because you're right. It's a bigger engine. But you can use it more efficiently. It doesn't have to work as hard. Like when Honda went to the F22C instead of the F20C.
It's possible,
It didn't really gain any power. It was just to take load off of the engine.
Yeah, I'm not really sure. They didn't go into detail as exactly. Of course, this is a press release. They're not going to go into technical detail about how making this switch changes the emissions. But I think it just mostly comes down to, and the quote from the guy at Hyundai says, of course, certain engines will go into Euro 7 homodulation, but not all engines will survive that we have today. So some will phase out when Euro 7 comes out in Euro 7 markets. So there's still some development going on. So I think what it came down to is, and also this article is from Australia. So I don't know exactly if this is going to apply to the US, but I have to imagine if they're phasing out the 2-liter everywhere else, they're not going to keep it here. It doesn't make sense.
Well, I could see them also wanting to just phase out engines because they've had bad luck with a lot of them.
Right. Yeah. They've
They have high failure rates.
Yeah, they have not been doing good there. So, yeah, I think it just comes down to, because we had a story not that long ago that Hyundai wasn't going to develop any new internal combustion engines.
Right, that they were going straight to EVs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, the 2.5 liter is kind of a holdover before everything switches over, and they'd have to rework the 2 liter to meet these emission standards. So
I think we're going to see a big slowdown in EV development due to, like, raw material shortages. Like, I don't know if you guys have been paying attention, but, like, it's not – we can't meet the numbers that are required. We just can't make them because they don't exist.
There's just not enough lithium.
You just can't do it unless we find
– Well, even besides the lithium, the cobalt, I think, is the big one, right?
Yeah. So I think it's going to be very interesting to see how the – internal combustion engine will kind of pick up the slack and like how it will change. I mean, obviously we're seeing what Toyota is doing with the 3 cylinders. Like,
yeah.
Are we going to start seeing smaller displacement engines pushing into, I mean, like you see Mercedes is going more into, the 2 liter 4 cylinder engines mm-hmm. and like, and that's on the performance side. Like that's with like, it'll just be interesting to see how this changes.
Yeah, I mean, to that point, also, I didn't put it in here, and I don't have any details on me, but I know Porsche is, like, really stepping up their e-fuel stuff.
Yes. Mm. Did
their synthetic fuels?
Yeah, I thought I sent out an article about a company that's, like, making synthetic fuels. That's really interesting. We'll have to circle back to it. Yeah.
Well, I think we made the Cars 3 comment, or the Cars 2 about
that. That's right.
We've talked about the e-fuels before, but... I think just recently Porsche was like, we have a plant, we're making it like in small quantities currently. Like,
that's cool.
Yeah.
I know that it wasn't very efficient when they were testing it recently.
Oh, really? I didn't see that.
I think it was the Toyota e-fuel testing. They were saying that they weren't getting a lot of mileage on it, but it was still new technology. And we reported on that about a year or two ago. So
I wonder if the e-fuels, it's kind of like E85 probably doesn't have as much BTU per liter. You know, so maybe the e-fuels don't have as many BTUs, so you have to use more fuel. So it's kind of...
But if it's cheaper to produce, then we're still talking about something that's more cost efficient.
That's one thing I still haven't seen on e-fuels. I've never seen a cost per gallon.
So when you say, I'm guessing, is that an ethanol-based fuel? When we say e-fuels, what is that?
It's just a synthetic fuel. So from what I understand, they're using like carbon capture technology to take carbon out of the air, and then they're taking making hydrogen... out of like water, you know, they're splitting that to make hydrogen, and they're making their own hydrocarbon chains out of those. So it's not really ethanol. It's not really plant-based, but it's not fossil fuel-based either. It's just like...
It's completely synthetic.
Yeah.
It's man-made.
It's not vegan. It's like impossible meat.
Pretty much. like we made fuel out of just not fuel.
Impossible meat is still made out of plants. It's a
bad example. I mean, have you ever seen the, like, ingredients list on, like, Impossible Burgers and stuff?
Oh, yeah. I mean,
that shit looks terrifying.
For, like, 6 years. There's a reason why I stopped. Yeah.
Impossible to... You were a vegan for 6 years? Mm-hmm. Wow. That explains why you are in much better shape than I am.
Where is it this time?
Yeah. Don't even remember.
You got that.
Oh, holy shit. Okay.
That's what that was
Yeah, for. He was hardcore vegan.
I was very, very into it. Anyway.
Anyway, yeah, we're, this is not a vegan podcast.
No, it is not.
Definitely not.
By the way, I have some smoked meats I would like to share. Nice.
How far the mighty have fallen.
Clarkson is pleased.
Actually, I'm not even going to change the slide because this next story involves an Elantra N, the one that we... reported on out in, I think it was California, got pulled over for loud exhaust and
impound. Riverside.
Yeah. The owner of that car posted an update about what's happening, because if you remember from last time, he got issued a ticket for too loud of an exhaust, had to fix the exhaust.
Right.
The exhaust was stock. So he's like, I can't fix it.
And Hyundai's like, we can't make it any more stock. Yeah. It is. It's stock. Yeah. And so Hyundai, the dealership, wouldn't help him. The judge wouldn't help him. The test rep from California, who's supposed to test it on its normal setting, tested it on its loudest setting, so it failed again. And I'm guessing that because this story's blown up, because we're not the only people covering this, this is all over the internet.
Mm-hmm.
HMA, Hyundai Motor America Corporate, reached out to him, and he's now driving in a loaner because he can't drive his car. And they gave him a $500 credit towards his car payment, because he is still making car payments on this vehicle he can't use. and they
it's an Elantra N, right?
So yeah, it's an Elantra N. It's got the burble tune,
the valved. Yeah. So, I mean, technically, you could fix that. Again, you wouldn't want to because our obviously it's stock, but right. Like, there's a solution.
Well, and then that sets a really bad precedent.
No, I know, but.
Well, it's a I think the problem law. They were
oh, it doesn't make yeah. any sense.
The problem 100%. They were running into though is if they retune the ECU to like even just make it so you can't it just goes into like the quiet mode all the time, they have to get that ECU tune recertified through the EPA.
Well, no, I'm not saying retune the ECU. I'm just saying like a mechanical fix on the exhaust. Well, even then,
weld the valve shut. You mean? So or just keep it shut.
Even then, like if it's Hyundai themselves that are doing it. That has to be certified through the EPA, has to be tested. You have to do crash tests with a new exhaust because who knows what happens. Like it's a huge process. So currently his car is at the Hyundai America Technical Center getting tested. I don't know what the hell they're doing there.
I love those guys. They always answer the phone.
No bitterness there at all. But Hyundai have confirmed, this is from his post on Reddit, which is where he's putting all his updates. Hyundai have confirmed a few weeks ago that there's nothing wrong with the vehicle, and I assume they will be holding on to the Elantra N, and I will be driving the loaner until the citation and state ref is cleared. He says, for the next few months, I'll just be waiting for February and most likely driving the loaner till then. Final update will be posted in February, and I will be sure to lay out all the facts as I have come across quite a bit of misinformation regarding the situation. So.
That's insane. And it's like, this is one vehicle. I mean...
Yeah.
How many Elantra Inns are just driving around California right now?
Right. Like, yeah. How many people are afraid to drive their Elantra Inns in Riverside? Because, right? I mean, I would want to avoid that cop like the plague. He was a total asshole in that YouTube video.
Oh, I haven't seen it.
Was the thing recorded?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. There's dash cam footage of the stop.
Oh, okay.
The cop pulled him over and started just making up numbers off the top of his head. He's like, I'm going to revoke your registration. You can't have burble tune going on the street. This is going to cost you $7,000. I know they told you at the dealer that you couldn't do this on the street. And like, yeah, just making all these presumptions, just being like a stereotypical respect my authority Cartman cop.
Like this car went through emissions that are based off of California law. Like,
right.
Like
it's legal for sale in California. Like
but this smogged. Yeah.
But this so this cop's stupid. Shouting. Yeah. This guy's talking about misinformation. That's where it started, was this officer on the side of the road. He wasn't helpful. He was very, very pugnacious. He wanted to.
Ooh,
good word. Really big word.
I immediately pictured a dog.
He probably was.
Cute little pug face. Yeah.
With a badge.
Yeah. I will Photoshop the pug onto the cop like for the
pugnacious. Video. Oh my god, we gotta get this guy's badge number.
When you say pugnacious, it's just gonna be like boom. Then,
you're gonna have a rough time dealing with this.
Oh god, the editing is gonna be ridiculous on this thing.
Oh. Don't go too high. It's Jesus a sweet Christ. Tattoo. That's all I'm saying.
Jesus Christ. All right, let's move on before we get into too much cop trashing territory, because we do that enough on this
let's
show.
Say, I could do that all day long.
Right? And we want to go away from some bad news back to some good news. Well, interesting news anyways. So PRI show happened like last month, and the biggest story to come out of this, believe it or not, is... this crate engine right here, it's a 3.6 liter four cylinder that uses an LS head.
Holy shit.
It's from Blueprint Engines. And they say in this form, it makes about 340 horsepower and 500 foot pounds of torque.
That's a lot of torque.
Wow. That's a lot of torque.
A 3.6 liter four cylinder.
It's a huge four cylinder.
Those pistons are massive.
So this engine block actually comes from their sister.
Kind of like a semi-truck. Well, not really, but like semi-trucks is right, like inline sixes or...
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're like
huge.
Pistons the size of your steering wheel.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then they make like 1,000, you know,
whatever. Yeah, I mean, the biggest... What's the... Like, I don't know what the biggest four-cylinder... I mean...
Didn't the Porsche make a four-liter four-cylinder at one point?
It was a three-liter.
Okay.
That was the 944 at a three-liter four-cylinder. For a while.
Was it a 3? I thought it was a 2.5.
They had a 3-liter as well, I'm pretty sure.
Wow. That's big.
I'm pretty sure. I'm not a big Porsche fan, so I could be wrong with that. But this is probably the biggest 4-cylinder I can think of, a 3.6 liter.
That's huge.
The block itself comes from their sister company, Origin Engines. And that block normally has a Ford 302 head on it and is used in big industrial generators. So things that run hospitals and shit like that.
Makes sense.
So with the cam like the cam's not in the head, right? If it's using an LS or a 302 style head,
cam and
right?
block, yeah.
So is it cam and block and actuates?
Yep, and rockers and all that good stuff. It actually this looks a lot like an old Jeep four cylinder. Honestly, if I'm being honest, like I'm sure this is their own design, but it at least draw like that water pump. That is a Jeep water pump. I swear to God, at the front of that thing. So. But, you know, they probably just took a block design and modified it for their use. That's easier to do. Did you say something, Aaron?
I was going to say, all the Jeep water pump, LS head, you're talking about Ford, and they power hospitals? They want the hospitals to stay running, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think those things usually run on diesel, though, don't they?
Probably. Well, I don't know. It could be gasoline. It just depends. You know, it might not be for the hospitals. It could be for, you know, anywhere. I'm not sure.
Sure.
They couldn't. It was really weird. In the article, it said that Origin Engines could not disclose who they sell their generators to.
Weird.
That sounds military.
Yeah, it was NDA shit. So I was like, yeah, this sounds military shit. To finish off this story, Blueprint Engines says this is only a concept right now. And actually, it was funny. They put this together kind of last minute as just like playing around. And they were almost weren't going to bring it out to PRI. They were kind of like, meh. And they shoved it in the corner. They're like, nobody really care about this. And it was like the biggest hit. And they were like, we didn't expect this. We have no specs. We just kind of did this as a joke, you know. But I guess if people want them, and a lot of people that want them are like circle track racers. You know, the four-cylinder, they call them the midget racers, you know, or the
Legends cars.
Legends cars and stuff.
With the crazy.
Yeah.
They look like old gangster cars.
Yeah.
Those ones, and then there's the big double-winged things.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah. There's nothing midget about that.
Bandit series?
Bandit, yeah. Yeah.
So. They do them out at the track just up the road from
here. Yeah. Hey, it's a good time. People make fun of, like, circle track, dirt track stuff, but that's a good time to go watch that shit. Yeah,
when they get out and they go racing, like, often.
Yeah, all the time, honestly. Yeah. They do a lot of racing. But, yeah, there's been a lot of interest from that, a lot of interest just in general from people, because they said with a turbo, this thing's probably going to make, like, 700 horsepower.
And 1,000 foot-pounds of torque.
Yeah, a little four-cylinder.
Powering the new Jeep Gladiator.
Be better than what they got now.
Yeah, then you could use it as an actual truck. Right? Do things with it.
You could give so many MRIs with that. Stupid.
Jesus Christ.
How many electromagnets could you run on a tank of diesel?
Quite a few. But yeah, so there's no plans to build this engine, or at least there wasn't, but I bet after all the blow up from this, they're going to build that. Why wouldn't they? They already make it.
Yeah.
Easy to do.
And if it's designed to use an LS head, I mean, they're in a Jeep water pump, the parts exist.
Right, exactly.
They're out there.
Nice and easy to make. All right, more sad news.
Falcon's leaving.
Yep, Falcon Tire pulling out of Formula D and Champ Off-Road Racing.
And that is so sad. Falcon Tire was like the Penske of Formula Drift for the longest time.
They were there from the start.
Yeah, when they had the biggest hospitality tents, they fielded some of the best drivers over the years. Von Gittin Jr., Dai Yoshihara.
Mm-hmm.
What were you saying? I'm sorry.
No, they had like tire changeout machines at Grid Life. Like,
yeah.
It was cool. Yeah, that was a cool setup.
Oh, this is so Falcon disappointing, man.
God, why do we bring you here?
that was puntastic.
Puntastic.
I'm about to get pugnacious.
Pugnacious.
Oh, that's what I'm here for.
It's true. That's actually what we bring you here for. But I just wanted to read their Falcon's the little announcement they put out on Facebook. It's with a heavy heart that we announce an end to our support of Formula Drift and Champ Off-Road Motorsports programs. As an early supporter of Formula Drift and the many successors of our Wild Peak line off-road, we do not take this decision lightly. Many companies have reassessed their overall strategies to better handle potential constraints, and for Falcon, that means moving its resources in different directions. And they kind of go on to thank everybody and everything, but that was the big thing that I wanted to point out is I think this is a supply chain issue.
Absolutely. 100%. Damn. 100%. And my concern is what is the grassroots motorsport tire situation going to look like in the next 2 years? Because we saw the shortages that we had this year. I mean, it was like almost impossible
prices, like,
to get
almost doubled on some of these tires.
It got really expensive.
Yeah, and, well, not just that, but just availability. They just weren't there. And it was like, every day you're on, like, looking for who's got the shipment or whatever, and that was awful.
It took 2 months for mine to come in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We can take this opportunity to learn better tire management on track.
Yeah, true. This is we got to get
we build drift cars.
Yeah, true.
we're doing this wrong. About drift cars is you could just buy like shitty China tires and like doesn't matter.
Right. Yeah. Until you get up to like the pro leagues, there's no reason to be running sticky tires. Yeah. You know,
just go buy some Achilles and have fun.
Like, we'll burn up some Linglongs and have fun.
Yeah.
Get some Wan Lees.
Westlake, thank you.
Westlakes. Yeah.
Nankings.
Yeah, we'll get all the cheap tires. That's perfectly fine. Neither of these cars is going to make enough money to even spin a 200 treadwear tire.
Yeah. Yeah, there's no way. It'll actually be funny. I've wanted to do a cheap tire comparison, and I was thinking first two Westlake versus Riken Raptors.
Do they actually still make Westlake tires?
I've seen them advertised at places, and that's I don't know if they're just selling off their surpluses or what, but the problem is they're not in a lot of the distributors. Like, you can't order them through Tire Rack.
Oh, no.
But you can find them on Amazon.
Do you think maybe some of the supply chain issues has to do with so many, like, off-brand Chinese competitors trying to get in the tire game and, like, buying raw materials and stuff like that?
Probably 100%.
Yeah, it's not going to help at all, for sure.
Well, because, all these tire companies probably bought their raw materials from China.
I know that this is a weird
loop back.
Neurological jump for me, but so my...
We all have ADHD. It's fine. We understand.
So the old CMO at my current job, he used to work for BF Goodrich as like a sales rep or whatever a long time ago, and his mom still works there. She's been there for like 30 years. She's gonna like retire with them, but anyway, so he's like privy to a lot of the information, and he said that all of the carbon black color comes from Russia, and because of like the current state of affairs with Ukraine and sanctions and stuff, a lot of that is going to China, as they're the biggest trade partner for Russia, right? So it's very difficult to make tires black, but I don't care what color the tires are, as long as they're, you know,
I'll destroy pink tires. That's fine.
Well, tires are naturally white.
Right, because the rubber.
Yeah, the rubber is white, and
so they have to put that black.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. So, but like, I don't think it. Maybe it has something to do with the structural integrity of it too. Maybe once like, you add that in, you have to get the formula right or something. Hmm. But I would be fine with some white tires.
Yeah.
Like whatever, just as long as it sticks. That's all I care about.
I mean, I think it's awesome when they put those tires on where you can burn red, white, and blue.
Smoke. Yeah.
Like the gender reveals and stuff. Yeah.
Well, I was thinking more just America burnout contest. Yeah.
It's
but
on
yeah,
my
sure.
bucket list to drift a Corvette with those tires around the Arc de Triomphe.
You really are on that New Balance life, aren't you? You're getting there. I like it.
I don't even think you could get a Corvette into France.
Well, you can't even drive around the Arc de Triomphe anymore.
Oh, there you go.
It's either going to require some payments to Emmanuel Macron or a lot of illegality.
Yeah. I mean, you're not above illegality, so.
No.
No.
I like the way you were saying. I'm not even gonna argue with that statement.
Are we gonna get black wall tires, like white black wall tires, like instead
ooh,
of
okay,
white?
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Because the black's the most expensive part.
Yeah,
exactly. So you show it off.
You get a little strip.
The thicker your line, the better your status.
Exactly.
The more black your tire is, the richer you are. I could see it. Formula D did make a response to this, but I'm not gonna read that. It basically just thanked all the drivers over the years and all the people that. Involved in the Falcon Tire stuff that whose names I don't really know because they were the people behind the scenes, you know, but just thanking everybody and, you know, wishing him the best of luck. There doesn't seem to be any hard feelings
Bakari.
Here.
I know.
Yeah.
Bakari for sure.
Yeah. I think I saw that on the name on the list.
It'll still be really sad to not have the teal and blue in pro drifting. I mean, Darren McNamara used to drive for them
they
too.
Have a Hot Wheel of that.
That's why I put it. Yeah. Like, that exact
iconic. It's not even.
Oh, that's Takeayano's car. Sweet. Yeah, you can see his name right there on the door.
Yep.
Yeah, that is iconic. That does make it sad because that is really an iconic.
Yeah, because Taka used to, it was hilarious. They'd go to interview him and he'd be doing curls. They're like, "What do you do?" And he's like, "My car has no power steering."
That's amazing.
Oh, that is great.
It's like, to be ripped.
Here's to hoping, though, that once supply chain issues and stuff get caught up eventually, it might be another decade before that happens. Or, you know, when we invade Russia or whatever.
We just need another planet.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah.
Come on, Elon.
We need to start mining asteroids.
That's true.
Get on it, Elon. Yeah. More sad news. There's a lot of sad news in this. Oh, there's their Formula Drift response there. But we're going to skip over that real quick. Yeah, last bit of news before we move on to our New Year's stuff. We talked about video games last time with EA canceling
Dirt
and shit, what was the other one?
Project Cars.
Thank you. Yeah. And now IndyCar is pulling out of iRacing. So they have been a pretty big part. If people don't know what iRacing is, it is like the motorsports game. Like, it's not even really a game. It's legit motorsports. Yeah. Like, you get into that, you get a ranking, and you want to move up your ranking until you... There's, like, a pro league for this, you know? This is, like, the best simulation game there is out there, and all the top drivers use iRacing to train. Like, yes, there's other games. Assetto Corsa is good. There's other games that are good, and you can train on, but iRacing is the gold standard. And they've been in partnership with Indy for a while. They actually do their virtual Indy 500 with teams like competing and stuff. Like it's been a bit really big deal, but now unfortunately IndyCar has teamed up with Motorsports Games, which is the company that normally releases R Factor and NASCAR Heat. And they're going to be making their own standalone IndyCar game to kind of compete with the Formula One games that are coming out. Of course this has upset a lot of people and I'm not really sure I agree with this move, but I don't think IndyCar is big enough to have their own game.
Yep.
That's the problem. Formula One is huge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They like you make that game, everybody wants to buy it. It's such a niche market. I think they would have been better sticking with the race fans, the people that want to drive these cars and the people that actually care about the racing. IndyCar is facing a really big problem right now of like much like NASCAR, all the old people that were into it are kind of either dying off or losing interest.
Yeah, as linear time works, you know.
Yes. Smart ass. But the young people aren't jumping on board. They're going to Formula One.
And Formula One has races in the U.S. now.
Yeah.
One of the big reasons to watch IndyCar before was because Formula One, you couldn't go see a Formula One race in America.
Yeah.
A lot of people still can't afford that. Case in point, us. We will not be in Vegas.
No.
For Formula
Jesus.
One. But, you know, if Formula One's here with their huge budget and prestige, why go to an IndyCar race?
Yeah.
You know what they need? They need a reality show.
They do.
They do.
It's honest.
I hate that is the world we live in because that format just irritates me. But it really does make fame.
But it's like actually pretty good. I liked watching. At least I only watched the first season. To be fair.
I couldn't. We were talking about this earlier. I just couldn't really stick with it. It was too much drama.
It's just the whole confessional booth. Like this is about to happen. That happened. That just happened. Like it's like you can watch any 5-minute segment of most reality shows and know what happened in the entire show. Which I get, that's what they want. They want people to be able to walk in and out so you can play it at the airport or the gym. And you're not actually having to sit down and see the whole episode. It's more marketable in little chunks like that as our attention span shrinks.
True. They need
short form vertical.
That's what IndyCar needs to embrace, short-form vertical content.
Let's do Indy sprints. Well, Indy sprints. How about
I like
that?
It.
60-second races. Let's go.
It's a real quick, in and out, boom, boom.
Yeah, whoever's in the lead when the time goes off.
So I will say the biggest thing that kind of upset me about this whole thing, because, well, A, I'm just now getting into iRacing. I just bought it on the Steam Summer Sale.
Ooh.
It was like $20 for a year's, because it's a subscription thing that you need to do.
Okay.
So I was like, I was sad that now I can't do the IndyCars, but also, this is from the article, streamers have reportedly been informed they are forbidden from broadcasting races featuring modern IndyCars. Mm-hmm. So if you stream on Twitch with iRacing, which a lot of people do, and you drive one of these cars, you might get flagged for a copyright violation.
Because of the copyright logos on the actual car?
Yeah, because of the IndyCar logos and stuff.
It's just licensing, because like every game has to, they'll have to license, so like, that's why Forza doesn't have
Porsche,
Mitsubishi, or Porsche.
Yeah,
or
they didn't have Porsche in Forza 4.
Yeah. And so they just have to buy that license. And so if their contract ends and they are not interested in renewing it because of they're in a contract with this new game company to make their standalone game, they just can't.
But I just think it's weird that the cars will stay in the game.
Well, I bet you there'll be an update and they'll mix it.
They'll probably take all the logos off. Tweak the way the car looks slightly, call it something different, boom, you're done.
Like a Twitch-friendly model?
Yeah. But they're also getting rid of the tracks, so you won't be able to race the Indy 500 in iRacing anymore because the tracks are licensed as well.
That's so stupid.
Wow,
that's such a bad move on their part. That's really like digging your own grave in the open wheel racing market with Formula One becoming finally popular in America.
Yeah,
you finally have people that are like engaged in open wheel racing, younger people that like this that could maybe pivot to that series. Yeah. And you're shooting yourself in the foot.
Yeah, and it could it's be arguably, more marketable.
Yeah, Indy's arguably more exciting, or at least the speeds. The
field's way bigger.
Yeah,
you know, so you get more racing.
Yeah,
you know, the other thing is like with this new game. Like I've played NASCAR Heat. It's a decent game. It is not a simulation game.
Oh, it's like an action, like Forza or something.
Yeah, it's more Forza-y. It's not. It's a little. You know, it's kind of in between. But like iRacing, like. Do you kind of understand that? iRacing is hardcore.
It's super difficult.
Difficult. So you're not getting a lot of just casual people into that, especially with the subscription and everything like that. But then I just worry that this title from Motorsports Games is just going to be too arcadey, and you're not going to find any market. You're not going to market to the sim guys, and then the people that are just casuals don't care enough about IndyCar, so they'll go get the F1 game. I don't think it's going to work, but good luck to them, I suppose. That's enough of the sad news, and I think we're caught up on the news in general. Now it is time for us to discuss what our New Year's resolutions are as far as cars go. I don't really care about anything else, but and I'm sure the viewers don't really give a shit if we want to hit the gym more often or become more vegan.
I have meatless Mondays.
Oh yeah,
I don't. That's a lie.
I actually do eat a lot of vegan foods, but
I had so much sushi yesterday.
All right, so I'll start, and I think my New Year's resolution, car wise, is pretty obvious. It's sitting right over there. It is the RX-8. I need to get that running, driving, and on track this year. Like, I want to drive that in anger.
In anger.
Yeah, and make lap times.
Off season.
Yeah.
It's been kind of slow since I got it because of all the holidays and stuff. Yeah. I've been out doing other stuff, and I'm hoping now I can really buckle down. And
you can sleep here.
Yeah. Well, not when it's, you know, 45 degrees
yeah,
in here.
That's a good point. Yeah.
I'll break my 0-degree sleeping bag.
Just set up a tent in the middle of the floor.
A little heater in there. Yeah. It could work.
Yeah.
Besides that, the only other thing is like, I just want to, like, I'm also trying to get my financials in place so that way I can hopefully get a different house come about this time next year, which will have a garage where I can work on stuff at home. Because I've said it before, as much as I love being here and doing
like
this,
it's an hour drive.
Yeah. And it'd be so cool to just, like, you do, go in the garage, remove a couple bolts, and that's it for the day. But at least you did something. You know, I can't come up here and just remove two bolts. Like, that's a waste of 2 hours of driving.
Yeah, my BRZ was on jack stands for a month so I could change the oil and do the front brakes.
Yeah.
I just went outside, worked for like 10 minutes, and went back inside.
Yeah. You're like, it's cold.
Like, it's cold. I'm going back in.
But so, you know, that's kind of a conundrum for me because I want to be trying to save money and I'm also have a project car. Those two don't exactly go hand in hand.
Well, you have an engine and a car.
I was saying, if you're saving money to put into the project car.
Right, yeah, exactly. But luckily, I do have a job that pays me well enough that I think I can do both and get it done and have a really cool car when we're done here. So, but I think that's pretty much it for me. I also want to do some work on the Fiesta and get that, like, I have a plan. It's called Operation Fiesteration. I looked at him because I knew he was going to just, like,
Is that a restoration party, or does that have to do with your?
Yeah,
car?
Exactly. Okay. Yeah, we're all going to work on it. No, that poor car has been through a lot, and I have not done the maintenance that it really needs. And I have a limited slip differential sitting over there that still needs to be installed, which would have been nice in all this bad weather.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, it's time to get that done too. So, hopefully, I can get the RX-8 running and be driving that and work on the Fiesta. Get two really nice cars set up, get my house bought with a nice garage. I think I'll be set then. I don't know what else I could really want at that point.
So. Yeah, that's a millennial paradise.
Right? Yeah. a car or a house with a garage and two cars. Like, shit.
So your Gangster's Paradise is Millennial Paradise. Sorry, I was just, you said Millennial Paradise, and I was like,
oh man, RIP Coolio.
Oh yeah, oh shit.
He's dead.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, this is not another Ja Rule situation.
I didn't want to shoot myself in the foot.
We need a list of dead rappers from our childhood just so we could keep track.
It's like, wait a minute, is Slick Rick dead? Like,
he's dead, right? That guy's gotta be dead.
Gotta be.
Slick Rick sells me my tires for racing. What are you talking about?
Yeah, that does it for me. What about you?
So I'm glad you mentioned the diff on the shelf, because one of my resolutions is to install the parts after I get them.
Oh, okay, that's a good resolution.
And not let them just sit while I'm going, I need to do that. Like, so that's a big resolution. I'm a big procrastinator, so I've got parts. I've got a table full of parts for the 240 here that we're just now installing. I don't even want to say how long I've had some of these. And my other resolution is to compete in at least one drift event, not just an exhibition match. I want to compete in a drift event here locally, even if I come dead last. I just want to go out and do it.
Yeah.
And, you know, the 240, once we get a clutch in it, I think, you know, it won't be competitively fast, but in the amateur leagues, it'll be enough to destroy some tires and have fun.
So I don't really know how the amateur stuff works. It's not tandems at that level, is it?
No, you have to be caged to go tandem in most leagues.
Okay.
So it's not quite tandem until, I want to say, semi-pro, but I know Drift Colorado. I don't know where that sits on the hierarchy of Formula D's pro list. But yeah, so one exhibition match, if I go tandem, it probably won't be in competition.
Yeah.
It'll just be for fun.
Hopefully it's with me and the RX-8.
Yeah, and hopefully we don't ram into each other.
Yeah, you know, even if we do.
Yeah.
That 240 is too straight. It has too many straight body panels.
It's true. It hasn't hit enough stuff.
It's all one color. The right? Gaps are nice. Yeah. It's got to change.
Yeah, that'll be awesome. I'd love to see, yeah. And I'd love to go with you and, like I said, learn some more about that kind of racing and stuff and that kind of competition. Cause besides Formula D, I don't, and like just amateur event, like, exhibition events, I've never really seen the amateur like hierarchy.
Yeah. But. Yeah. It only used to be three leagues. It used to be amateur, semi-pro, Formula D. And then they kept adding more leagues, which cut down on the size of the actual pool of pro drivers, but it made the competition better. You know, which, you know, it's got its ups and downs. It was kind of cool to have some people who were just barely qualified to be in pro and then go see them in an event.
Yeah.
Because it's like, wow, you made it to the quarterfinals because everybody else wrecked. And then you've got like this privateer in an S13 with an SR20 against Von Gittin Jr.
Yeah, I do miss those days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, you don't really see that now. It's all six-figure builds out there in the pro leagues.
Mm-hmm.
Michael Essa used to do a lot of stuff just as a privateer. He was always in BMWs. He wrecked a lot. But it was really cool to see him out there representing himself.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Is that
that's
about it?
I think that's about it. I don't want to overdo it, and then I won't come. We won't keep any of them.
Yeah, that was one thing, like, I was going to mention. It's like, for the most part, I don't really like New Year's resolutions. I don't like setting an arbitrary date to start a thing.
Right.
Where you're like, I'm going to start working out a month from now.
Right.
No, you're not.
It's like, I can eat as much cake as I want until January 1st.
Right? No, if you're going to do it, you're going to do it now. But it just kind of happens to be, now is the time, and, you know, we're lining up. And I like to set some small goals anyways.
Yeah.
Although, I don't know, maybe case hopping an RX-8 is a large goal. I'm not really sure.
Over the course of a year?
Yeah,
no, not really. Like,
you know what? From what you've told me, with what you can use that's already in the car, the fact that you have an engine and your skill level of you know, turning wrenches, that's very doable for you. I think that's an attainable goal, and I'm excited to see that car running.
Yeah, I'm excited to have it running. Yeah.
I would like to drive it.
Yeah. You know? No, I mean, that's part of the thing. Like, the idea from the beginning of case swapping an RX-8 was for us to take it to, like, Track Attack, and all four of us can just lap that thing like they did with Marshmallow.
Yeah. Oh, you know? That would be cool.
Yep. Yep.
That would be awesome if we dominated RB because we have so many test laps.
Yeah.
Because we all know the track because we've ridden with everybody else.
Yep, and just got heat in the tires constantly. And
And we're running FA in a different car.
We're just running from like car to car.
We're going to have to rent a garage down there.
Literally no reason why we couldn't do that.
Dude, between all of us, I think we're going to be in a lot of classes next year.
Yeah. We haven't even talked about your surprise yet, so we'll get to that.
Yeah. So, yeah. So, I guess mine... I don't know. I don't have a lot. Like, I feel like the GTI is okay.
Like, the GTI is great.
Yeah, I think my resolution is to just drive more intentionally and learn more. I feel like that car, I actually feel like this year I got way better driving than any year prior to. And so,
yeah, I don't, this might sound like a weird humble brag, but it went from us going to the track and me being not too scared of you to you beating me. And I was like, son of a bitch.
Yeah, whatever. I mean, it's fun. I want to... So there's like a couple more upgrades I think I want to do, but it's mostly concerning overheating issues at HPR in the middle of summer.
That's a lot to deal with.
Yeah. And then, like I was telling you guys, I'm switching over to E85. So that's really just...
How much more power does that net?
I don't know. I didn't think it netted that much, but people keep asking me that. Now I'm worried.
I mean, you should be able to make a lot more power. I'm assuming you'll make... have a significant gain there.
Yeah, all these 600 horsepower STIs are all E85 tuned.
What's the octane rating of E85? Like 112 or something like that?
It's up there. It is very similar to like a 110 or a 116, like an old VP or Sunoco fuel.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, even the guys now that are running a lot of the pro drag cars, drift cars, all that stuff, that's all on Ignite, which is like an E90, I believe. And there's variants of it. Ignite is just a brand with multiple different fuels, but. It's everybody's making power on ethanol based fuels now.
Mm-hmm. And I would love to just get a drum of E90 because you can just do that with from Ignite.
Yeah.
Like
just it's better to do that because I've looked into ethanol around here in Colorado area. Man, that shit's all over the place.
It's just up the street from here. That's the whole, it came up. Sorry, just the E85, not the E90. I don't know. Whitney's car is flex fuel. And so during the gas prices being all crazy, we found that there's a ethanol station at the Come and Go, like just on 52 and 25, and that's like on her way home from work. So we were just like, use the ethanol.
Yeah, and almost half the price per gallon.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, but it was in the Armada, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So it's still a lot, and it
probably gets like 3 miles a gallon on ethanol.
No, it's it gives you it gives you the average. So it was like 16. So it's a 2 gallon loss. So it was 14. It went from 16 to 14.
Okay,
that's not bad.
I know, but those numbers are still
still 14 is
tough, man.
It's a huge car.
It's the VK56. Yeah, it's an awesome motor.
It is. So yeah, I think just spending more time driving intentionally and learning and just getting those couple things cleaned up on the GTI, but I'm so happy with that car. Like,
yeah,
I want to explore buying a new, but I want to keep it easy, attainable goals. Like, I would love to get into a rear wheel drive car.
At this point, you got to get caught up because we all have rear wheel drive cars now.
I know.
Which moves on to Aaron.
I did an S10. Well, actually, that one's all wheel drive.
No, you did buy, you did buy an S10.
I did. I got an S10. No, but I did get a Miata. I got a Miata. Matt's the only one that's seen it because the weather and timing and all that. But it's been super enjoyable. It's got a 1.8. It's got a factory diff. It's low mileage. It does look like a golf ball, and that doesn't matter.
It's an NA.
Yeah.
It's an NA. It's a 95. It's Montego Blue. It's got a new top on it.
Yeah, the price you paid?
I did get it for a very good price
from a guy that
really cared about the car. I knew I was buying it from a good car person, and I think that really just kind of enhanced the experience for me. And it really, I guess to sum up my car goals this year, is the one word, it's discipline. I bought a Miata because I'm not a small guy. And I feel like it will help me to attain some physical or get to some physical goals that I really want, because to fit in a race seat in that car and have the stamina to really do longer sessions like at High Plains and stuff like that, that's my goal. My goal is seat time and discipline, not only as far as eating and stuff like that and to get there, but also when it comes to being disciplined as far as focused and driving, hitting the apex, track and track, like hitting your marks on the track and really learning everything about each track around here, all four of them that I plan to do, and car control and all that fun stuff.
I think a lot of people don't really realize, like just normies, right, that don't go to the track or just...
Normies?
Yeah, like normies, like or like casuals, right? Like yeah. To use the gaming term. Right? Like you get all these car guys that are like, yeah, I could do a track day. And then like, bro, like that shit is a physical effect on your body. Like I still come back from High Plains and my obliques hurt because I don't have a racing seat in my car. So I'm constantly trying to stay...
Right.
Because you're trying to keep... your head straight so that you're not doing this bullshit and fucking up your horizon line and messing up your angle.
While you're wearing a helmet, which has some weight to it. It's not, they're not, unless you get a super expensive carbon fiber one, they don't, they're not that light.
When they muffle your face and then they're less comfortable and there's mental stamina too.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. You start to lose for like, I mean, the track experience I have is with the S2000 that I had, and that's Sebring and Daytona and Florida tracks. But the one note that I was given from my NASA instructors was like, when you're on, you're doing really good, but you're losing focus and you're lacking the discipline there of like sticking to the lines that you're supposed to. And, you know, I think part of that will just, if you're in better physical form, you'll have a better time. Mm-hmm. So for me, that's huge. But it's all about seat time. I want to do some ice racing with the CRV, which I've hopefully going to get a February spot for all of us. Georgetown.
Yeah.
It's just driving. This year is about driving and physically working on my own car a little bit more. And, just being part of the gang. I'm like excited to have a car again.
Right? Oh, yeah. You no longer have to chase us down a mountain in a CRV.
Our first winter practice is like late February.
I'm in.
Yeah, it's coming up. Yeah.
You've got a couple months if you need to get some tires.
Yeah. I mean, No, you're good. I was going to say, it's got some hideous black 16s on it. But it's got decent tires. It's if I have to run it on all seasons for the first event, even to feel the difference between
a new and old set
of tires, I'm happy with that. But yeah, it's just going to be roll bar, wheels and tires for now, and seat time. No mods. Maintenance, and that's it.
Cool.
Yeah, nice. That's a good idea. You speaking of discipline, that did make me think of one other thing I'd like to do this year, and that is because I just did buy iRacing, is to work on my discipline and everything in the sim rig and get in there at least once, twice a week, sit down, do some actual iRacing races, wheel-to-wheel stuff, and really learn the ins and outs of that community. I do want to do that more because, as we've said before, racing ain't cheap. Even a Miata or a GTI, like, that stuff, it adds up very fast. Yeah. So if you want to get more track time, a sim rig is amazing for that, but mine did kind of gather dust for a while. You know, just other things got in the way, and I didn't use it much. So I'm hoping with getting iRacing, I can get in there and hopefully learn some stuff, hopefully get some more endurance and work on focus and stuff like that, like you said.
I really should have worn the New Balances next time.
You actually got New Balances?
Yeah, for my Jack Harlow Halloween costume.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Because that was also going to be part of your resolution thing, right? Possibly?
Yeah, I am...
possibly.
Possibly, because I'm thinking that sometime next year, C5 Corvettes are going to hit rock bottom price. And I really want one.
Well, I wish you the best of luck with that.
Thank you.
I don't believe that statement, but...
Well, you think they've already bottomed out?
Yeah. I think so.
A bit of talk about used car prices like just tanking right now. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it just depends on how many. We'll see how many are at Track Attack in the spring. Because if it's cheap, there'll be a lot more C5s.
RA is just full of Corvettes then. Yeah. Yeah, I could see it.
It's a great platform. I mean, but I do think if you're going to do it, it's got to be soon.
Yeah.
You know, because I think even if used car prices do start tanking, it's not going to be those used cars. I think that right now the enthusiast market for like our age group, our age bracket, the people that are going to be able to snatch those up really easily, you're going to overpay, you know? Not overpay, but those prices are going to hold a little, and you're going to see... Yeah, I think that's a more stable market than...
It's more predictable.
...a 10-year-old Hyundai. Yeah.
It's definitely more predictable. Gotcha. Because anything, it'll only drop until enthusiasts realize it's cheap and start buying a ton of them.
Yeah.
And then it drives the price back up. But if I miss the boat on the C5, C6 is right behind it.
You got the shoes. Get the car.
Yeah. Right? All right. I think that's going to do it for us today. We got to get wrapped up here and get out and get our New Year's on, which yeah. we are old now, so that might not be that big of a celebration.
We may be home by 10:30.
Yes, but that is perfectly fine because I'm old and I don't care anymore. So, as usual, if you want to follow everything we've talked about on the show, show notes will be on religionspeed.com. I swear I'm going to update that this time. I have a really bad problem of saying that and then not touching the website for 3-4 weeks. But anyways, and then, of course, Instagram, Facebook, religionspeed.co, TikTok, Religion of Speed. We're making a few videos here and there. YouTube, at Religion of Speed. And just Google Religion of Speed and click on everything that's not a music video. I think that does it for the show. So, Chris, let's close it up.
I'd like to thank the band Wheels for the use of our theme song, Colors. You can hear it on the album Traveler Part 1. And you can find them at wheelstheband@bandcamp.com.
All right, that's going to do it for us today, Heretics. Thanks for listening. Until next time, peace out.
Happy New Year.
See you guys next year.
That's one of my favorite old man jokes.
That's the best joke. Look, I'm like blocked in by all the...